Listen to Drive Time Sports weekdays 4 to 5 on News Talk 750 AM KOAL.
A long three from Thompson, and that is an NBA record. His 10th three-pointer of the night. Thompson fires for three. Yes! Golden State by three.
This is Clay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Lester on KOAL 750 AM.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me.
Game one of the NBA Finals taking place Thursday night. It's been a long time coming. Seems like it's been forever since we've had some NBA basketball. The Warriors have been off for a little bit, to say the least, after just breezing right through the Western Conference. Cleveland, on the other hand, they lost one game throughout the postseason up to this point in time. Now these two teams will battle on Thursday. Joining us to talk a bit about not only the NBA Finals, but also the NBA in general, we have a good friend of the show, EJ Christian. He's the host of the Earnestly Speaking podcast, and we'll get all the information on that as well. EJ, a pleasure as always to get you on. Thank you.
What's up, Jordan? It's about home and home. We run my pod this week, and I turned a favor coming on your radio show. It's great.
Yeah. It's great to do trades like that for sure. And we've done that now for the last few years, and it seems like every time we talk, it mostly centers around NBA basketball, which is never a bad conversation.
It's the greatest league in the world. Come on now.
Well, I would agree, although a lot of people may not this particular season. Now, there has been a lot of debate on what's good, what's bad for the league. I mean, right off the bat, give me your opinion. Has this been a good season for the NBA?
I think when you look at in terms of the team success, whatnot, it's not parity-wise, obviously, no. I mean, we knew as early as July in free agency last year that Cleveland and Golden State was going to be our finals. I mean, when you add Kevin Durant to your ball club on July 4th, immediately you're penciling the Warriors in there, no matter how you slice it. Okay, this is a team that won 73 games. The Cavaliers, of course, have the best player in the world, LeBron James, and the East has not gotten any better. What this season really was, to a lot of people, and to me especially, was about individual moments. James Harden's great year. Obviously, Russell Westbrook's record-breaking year, triple-double, whatnot. This was about, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, you know, taking a step forward as a star. You know, this is more about individual moments and individual performances. But, you know, in the end, team-wise, it was always about Cleveland and Golden State.
Heard an interesting take on LeBron James, actually, on the Colin Cowherd show with Rob Parker. It's a very interesting take that I've never really thought of. In terms of LeBron's legacy, and I hate legacy talk here on the show. We rarely talk about it. But with that being said, I thought that Parker brought up a great point. He said when LeBron James' career is done, he's going to be remembered as the guy that sparked a lack of parity in the NBA. There is some truth to that. I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily a negative. I do believe that in today's NBA, we view, you know, it's more of a fraternity than rivals. I mean, back in the, late 80s, even through the 90s, there were hardcore rivalries in the NBA. Now it's more of a fraternity. I think you can look to LeBron James as saying he's the guy that kind of changed that particular culture in the league.
No, and I caught that, too, with him, with Kyle and Rob Parker. And for the record, there are many things I don't agree with Rob Parker on at all through the years. But I will say, you know, this one, I sort of, not necessarily agree with him, because I'm not sure if the people, if players down the road are going to act this way moving forward. It may be a short-term thing. But he has a great point that the fact of the matter is that there is a lot more closeness to players, that there's a lot less of a rivalry aspect of the league than you and I were brought up to watching for years. Yeah, he has a great point about that. And LeBron, unfortunately, is sort of not on purpose, maybe, leading that charge. I mean, when you go to start a team with Dwayne Wade and, you know, who at the time was the top three player in the league, and Chris Bosh, who at the time was the top 10 or 15 player in the league, you know, it lends that stuff. And yet, since then, you've had the same formula go, you know, happened over the course of the last 6-7 years. So, Ron Parker has a great point there. Now, whether this will be a sticking point for the next 10, 15, 20 years, that remains to be seen.
Right. I think it's a generational thing. I really do.
Right.
The fact is, Kevin Durant would not have joined. I don't think he would have the guts to join the Golden State Warriors without LeBron setting this precedent, 7-8 years ago when he decided to leave Cleveland and go to Miami. I don't think Kevin Durant has the guts to make that move, EJ. I really don't.
No, he wasn't. You know why? Because he was one of the people who was critical of that move at the time in 2010 when LeBron made the move to go take his talent to South Beach. Kevin Durant was one of the people who tweeted at the time when Twitter was still in its infancy that, you know, critiquing the move, and that wasn't, you know, he wasn't really in favor of it. So, yeah, go forward 6, 7 years later, and there you go. He does the same thing that LeBron did.
You did mention some of the individuals that have really stood out this year. And look, the fact is, team parity has been horrible this season, but we had three individuals that put together stellar seasons in James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kawhi Leonard. In fact, so great that we even looked past the great season that LeBron James had to say this is a three-pony race for the MVP. I think it's actually a two-pony race, but I think you have to show respect to what Kawhi Leonard actually accomplished. We've seen how much he was actually worth to San Antonio in the postseason. So even though team parity has not been there, those are three guys that had unique seasons. I call Russell Westbrook's season the unicorn season, and it trumps James Harden, who nearly averaged a triple-double throughout the year as well.
Yeah, and it's funny, too. Like, you know, you told me the MVP talk, of course, if this is what we're getting into. You know, I had a benchmark where you have to win 50 games. But for some reason, Russell Westbrook had me ultimately, you know, stretching that, you know, having a little more wiggle room for that, because the fact of the matter is, what he did this year was incredible. Now, I still am critical of Westbrook in terms of, can you build a title team around him? I don't know yet, because I don't know if he's still self-aware enough to be a little more of a facilitator. You know, Kobe Bryant got that criticism from a lot of years, but Kobe Bryant was self-aware enough to know if you get your players involved, your teammates involved, you can win big, and he did that. So that's the issue I have with Westbrook. Overall, though, you look at MVP, like, I'm still, you know, funny, I still tend to trend James Harden for one reason. The Rockets weren't supposed to do much this year. I mean, you look at the over-runners in Vegas. I think the Rockets at the time were 43 wins over-under. And I had them going over no more than 44, 45 wins. They overexceeded that number. They went to 55 wins this year. So I think we look at a team success, too. Now, granted, now in the now, see what happened in the finals, you know, in the semifinals, rather, in that first series against the Rockets. It looks kind of foolish to say Harden, but I think James Harden, I think would still be my MVP. Now, that being said, Kawhi Leonard, I mean, the Spurs, and quietly, Spurs won 61 games this year. And some of the things that Kawhi Leonard does as a basketball player, his biggest value to the Spurs, you're not going to see on a stat sheet. His defensive prowess, you know, him being a stopper and the things he does, the tangibles, you're not going to see on a stat sheet. You know, I actually hope Kawhi wins it, but I don't think he's going to win it. But, yeah, like I said, this is about an individual year. You can say LeBron, too, arguably in his best year of his career. But, again, this is a guy that punted on a regular season. He doesn't care about regular season. He has said that publicly. It's about titles now. So when the Cavaliers, who go 51-31, which is not really that impressive for a defending champion, granted, they're a great team still, yeah, you can't get LeBron in that picture. Team success has to account for the MVP as well, too.
Again, our guest right now is EJ Christian. He's the host of the Earnestly Speaking podcast. EJ, let's move on to talk NBA Finals. It is the rubber match, and you and I had this conversation on your show just the other night. I find it extremely interesting with really no precedent being set. If you take a look over the last two series, no Kyrie, no Kevin Love the first time these two teams went toe-to-toe. Last season, Draymond Green gets suspended. That was a very, very crucial suspension in that series with Golden State up 3-1. I think that series is over in five if Draymond does not get suspended. Going into this NBA final set, both teams appear to be at full force, so it's different than the previous 2 years.
Yeah, they both do, and I you're right. I think it's fine because, like, you know, if the Cavs were healthy 2 years ago, you could argue the Cavs win that series because there is no way on God's green earth that the Cavaliers should have won two games against Golden State 2 years ago without Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. There's no way that should have happened. And the fact that happened was amazing itself. That said, last year, if Draymond Green gets suspended, and a big caveat, no one's talking about either, if Andrew Bogut does not get hurt in Game 5, that series will be 5 games as well, too. So I think this is going to be the series we finally get, you know, that's how even playing feels, you know, finally, after 3 years.
We've talked about this throughout the week. I just don't see how there's any way possible for Cleveland to stop this Golden State team defensively. Cleveland's going to have to play out of their mind offensively. They're going to have to try to maneuver the tempo. I don't know if they're capable of doing it, but in regards to the past two seasons, this Golden State team is also a very different beast. In fact, I think that the Western Conference this season in general was pretty good. The Warriors just made it look below average from what we've become accustomed to over the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, and the problem I have with Cleveland in this series, too, this is why I have a hard time picking them in this series, is the fact that who's playing Kevin Durant one-on-one? I mean, I'm going to assume LeBron is that assignment, you know? And that's the problem. There's just too many weapons for the Warriors here. I mean, unless Steph Curry has another bad shooting series like last year in Fox, you know, I don't see where the Cavaliers can get the extra help defensively. To shut down the team, because Kevin Durant and LeBron, even if you need to call a wash, you still have Draymond, you still have Klay Thompson, you still have Steph Curry, obviously. I don't know where you get the help defensively to shut this down. See, it was easier when you take out Kevin Durant out of the equation. You can throw, you know, different guys at, you know, at Steph Curry. Delvedova for the last couple of years was able to somewhat limit his success. LeBron in stretches. Now you got Kevin Durant now. I mean, you got to pick your poison here. I mean, the Cavaliers got to hope for some bad shooting nights from Steph Curry like you saw in these last two finals. Otherwise, this could be over in early.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And if you go back and you look at the regular season matchups between these two teams, we saw Golden State absolutely pulverize Cleveland in one contest by 34 points. But on Christmas Day, Cleveland got the best of Golden State by 1 point. I don't know how much you can really take from the regular season either when you compare these two teams in the NBA Finals.
Here's what you can take, though. If you took all eight quarters of those two games, Golden State demolished Cleveland, because that 1 point win that Cleveland got, Golden State led most of that game and were up big. They blew the lead late in the game.
Yep.
They were up, I think, 14 or 15 in the fourth quarter before Cleveland came back. And in the second game, of course, at Oracle, Cleveland got the doors blown off. So if you go based on the eight quarters that we got this year for both teams, Golden State demolished Cleveland. So if we use that as an elixir to analyze in this series, I think the Cavs are in trouble here, personally.
I agree with you. I picked this series to be over in five, and that's how we can end this this conversation for this particular segment. Break it down for us, EJ. How's the series go?
You know, I initially was saying five Golden State, but LeBron, I know the circumstance last year with Draymond and Bogut. It's just that LeBron is so good. LeBron is good enough to get you two wins alone. How many wins can Kevin Love or Kyrie Irving combined get you to tilt the year away? That's the question. If Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love can get you two more wins, Cavs win the series. The problem is, though, I think I can see Durant winning two games and Curry win two games, and that's four, and four wins the title. So I got Warriors in seven.
EJ, it's always fun to get you on the show and talk some NBA basketball. Let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Find me on Twitter, of course, at EJKristen7, my blog at EarnestlySpeaking.net, and the podcast, Earnestly Speaking Podcast, as well as my daily podcast, well, too, Earnestly Speaking Daily, both on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
EJ, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you very much. We'll do it again soon.
Absolutely, Jordan. Take care.
Again, EJ Christian joining us here on the show to break down the NBA and the NBA Finals. We've got a break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.